Part 7. Desperate Measures. Talk sense to a fool, and he calls you foolish. Euripides. G-19. Petrovich Residence, Denver, Colorado. Immediately after the detained intruder defiantly and unwisely signaled his refusal to speak, and with no idea of the all-important speech Dan was diving into at that precise moment, Clark McCarthy freed his hand from Emma's and dived forward. He swung wildly at the intruder, true to his words of warning, but felt nothing but air until his body fell forward and into the floor beyond. "What the fuck, man?" he bellowed at Leisha as it became clear that the alien had telekinetically pulled the man away. He hadn't pulled him out of harm's way, quite evidently, since the intruder was now trapped in midair, appearing to be positioned on an invisible shelf near the ceiling. In reality, he was being held against his will within a box-like force field identical to the kind Leisha had used to hold the would-be assassin in Buenos Aires before remotely eviscerating him in front of the world's cameras.
"There is no need for violence. I can extract all the information you seek," Leisha telepathically replied, these words naturally heard only by the patch-wearing duo of Emma and Clark, while Chip looked on in awestruck wonder at the sight of a man floating in his living room.
While Clark was initially frustrated to have failed in his physical attempt to let the man know the time for messing around and playing dumb was over before it began, he was now tremendously glad and more than a little heartened to see Leisha taking an active role in the interrogation. Although Leisha's decision to pull the intruder away and place him in what was essentially an invisible cage had caused Clark to fall over under the momentum of what would have been a heartily delivered punch, in hindsight, this was also greatly preferable to the other tack the alien could have taken in stopping Clark from striking him. Thinking back to how much his nose had suffered during its collision with a protective alien force field, Clark could only imagine that at least a dozen bones in his fingers and wrist would have been broken by such a forceful impact with an invisible wall-like barrier of that sort. Neither Clark or Emma could hear any thoughts from Leisha as the alien focused intently, almost manically so, on his captive. Leisha had placed a hexagonal red patch on the back of his own neck, which was an odd thing to see given that the patches normally granted humans powers he already had. After hearing Leisha's promise that he could now dive to the deepest depths of his target's mind, subconscious thoughts, memories, and all, the duo could hardly wait to hear what he found out. They knew it wouldn't take long, but the silence ended even more quickly than their wait. "Phil's dead," Clark announced, breaking it with a heavy heart as he decided that now was as good a time as any to inform Chip and explain his own level of blood-boiling rage. "This asshole's partner shot him with a tranquilizer dart, then suffocated him with a pillow. He took a computer and looked around for other stuff, but we don't know why he was there. My old man said you were with Phil yesterday. People saw you together, right?"
Chip crouched to the ground, knees bent, and covered his face with his hands. This kind of reaction never got easier for Clark to see, despite how many times it had met his eyes throughout a life filled with experiences few could come through with anything close to his level of emotional balance intact.
"It's my fault," he said, the words coming out in a zombie-like rote manner rather than being punctuated by sobs. "I had to give him the documents, but I didn't have to go to the bar like that. If I'd called or gone to his house, if no one had seen us together, no one would have known."
"Wait, wait, wait,"
Emma interjected, trying to speak softly but not quite pulling it off through the adrenaline and emotion of the moment.
"Listen, Phil had to be the primary target here. Chip, you didn't drag him into any shit by showing up in public. You only dragged yourself into it. Do you see the difference? Phil was in tight with all of us, and the world knows that. Whoever these pieces of shit are working for, they must have seen him as the weak link, because we seem to be swamped by Secret Service agents 24/7. And once they knew you were his lawyer, which isn't hard to work out since your face is all over your TV ads 20 times a day, you became an even weaker link all the way out here."
"He was dying," Chip choked out. "That's what this was all about with me and Phil. He's known it for a year, but they just told him things had gone south and he had 3 months left if he was lucky. We had to fix the will and he gave me a bunch of devices and complicated instructions.
At least you were able to take care of that stuff,
Emma said, struggling to process this revelation but focusing on the sole positive she could see. Chip slowly stood back upright.
And Clark, you're the executor. Primary beneficiary, too.
Clark didn't react to this, not because he did or didn't like it, but because he didn't even hear it. All he heard while Chip was talking was the silent but somehow overpowering message Leisha sent his way at the same time, a message composed of nothing but an address on the outskirts of Colorado Springs. Emma had her phone out before Clark understood what was happening. Leisha glanced at the satellite images of the property for only a few seconds before a flash carried him away, leaving the humans alone once more.
Leisha is coming back, Emma said, reassuring Chip that the fourth human present wouldn't be left in an impenetrable force field in his living room for the rest of time.
So wait, you can talk to them? With, like, telepathy?
Chip asked, feeling like he had missed a few things.
Oh, we have these patches,
Emma said, pointing Chip to the small device.
While we're wearing them, yeah, we can.
Chip's face reflected suitable amazement at learning this. It didn't hold his focus for long, however, as Leisha returned remarkably quickly. The alien stood alone in the same spot from which he had just disappeared, but the intruder in the floating cage no longer sat alone.
Scumbag piece of shit,
Clark snapped, lunging forward again and fruitlessly trying to grab hold of the newly arrived man he correctly assumed to be Phil's cold-blooded killer. But this time, rather than fall forward, Clark was stunned to find himself momentarily immobilized. Leisha walked forward, ready to break his fall, and then caught the weight of his large frame.
That force field is like solid rock, Leisha explained, thinking it wise to quickly and succinctly justify his invasive action as Clark's eyes seemed set on boring a furious hole through his own.
Chip stepped forward to pull Clark back, meeting no resistance, and Leisha returned to his own previous position in front of the intruders. He stood there for another 2 or 3 minutes, exploring the mind of Phil's killer like a search engine indexing web pages. This new kind of telepathic power was an intrusion in itself, of which there was no denying, but it was going to get the job done. Clark knew what was happening as Leisha intently stared at the men, but he could still hardly believe it. What he didn't feel for one second was any ethical hesitation, because the ends of discovering who the men were and who had put them up to this, not to mention why, justified quite literally any means Clark McCarthy could think of. It was difficult not to consider the potential anti-terrorist applications of a power like that now possessed by Leisha, but Clark equally understood the drawbacks. He didn't particularly care about ethics when the safety of innocent people was on the line, but the potential for abuses of such a power hardly bore thinking about. Before long, Leisha looked away from the men, first to Emma, and then settling on Clark. His usually gentle-looking eyes, to their shock, had taken on a frightening red hue. This was no illusion. They truly were red. Evidently, this was what he had meant when he mentioned that the deep-diving telepathy enabled by the patches was far from discreet.
There is a lot,
Leisha explained, removing his hexagonal patch and simultaneously returning his eyes to normal.
But I have it all. I do not and will not forget, so I will tell you when we are in a more secure location and have time to talk. My mind is exhausted, but the knowledge is safe.
Tell us something, Clark demanded.
We do have to go, but at least tell us something,
Emma pleaded, feeling an equal and almost physical need to know.
Did you get any names we'll definitely recognize, or even any names leading to something you can safely deduce if it wasn't explicit?
This time, Leisha looked squarely at her.
Blitz, he said, and that was all.
Fucking Blitz,
Clark sighed, relaying this gut punch for Chip's benefit. Chip's eyes widened at the same time his head began to shake in rage. It didn't stop for as long as Clark looked.
And about these two,
Leisha said, inflecting the comment into something like a question.
They have to die, Clark said. They know we know, and at least one has shown himself willing to kill, This isn't even a debate, Leisha. There's no other side to it.
Chip's head stopped shaking.
Kill them,
he gruffly spoke in Leisha's direction. Awaiting one last response from the human he seemed to listen to more consistently than anyone else with the possible sole exception of her husband, Leisha looked at Emma with unusually expressionless eyes.
Emma, you don't have to say yes. Don't say yes, Clark implored her. Just please don't say no, and trust me, it makes a difference.
The air was thick with tension for several seconds until Emma finally broke it.
We should get back to Birchwood,
she dispassionately stated, turning away and walking to the far side of the house. Clark nodded to Leisha, who raised a hand and casually twisted it, as though turning a key. Each of the violent intruders' necks snapped like rabbits, and both Clark and Chip saw them collapse lifelessly to the base of their floating cage. They lay there for barely a second before a sudden flash took them and Leisha out of the living room. No one spoke, but Leisha was back before they even had any time to speculate as to how long he might have been away.
Where?
Clark asked, silently and succinctly.
Not important, the alien replied.
His eyes were sullen, taking no pride in what he had done, but understanding that it had been necessary for the safety of his close human friends, and perhaps even their world more widely.
Thank you,
Chip said, extending a hand towards Leisha. Clark walked over to Emma while Leisha reciprocated Chip's gesture.
It does make a difference,
he whispered to her. She turned to him, wiping away a tear from her eye.
Thank you for that, she said, nodding weakly. Really?
Clark put his arm around her shoulder.
Every single thing they were thinking is in Leisha's mind, he said. When we get back to Birchwood, we can record every last piece of it and make sure Phil didn't die for nothing. Okay? None of this was for nothing.
Leisha,
Emma called.
Can you take us home before Piper wakes up?
The alien nodded, slowly and deliberately.
Thanks, she said. And bring Chip, too,